experiences in my own life and things that have happened to me or that I have done. I like to preach messages that apply to me, that I need to apply to my life, and I hope that they will apply to you as well. And this is one of those messages where I need it just as much as anybody here today, and I'm hoping to apply it to my life as well. As we look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verses 16 through 18. I'll read it if you'll just follow along with me there in your Bible. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. I pray, God, that you would bless this time. I pray that you'd use this time in our life to speak to our hearts. I pray, God, that you'd help us to learn how not to faint in the day in which we live. We thank you for this time. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I mentioned this morning when I welcomed you guys to church, but I hope that none of you came here today hoping, praying, and longing for someone to sing something, to say something, to preach something that would just take all of your hope away. If you did, welcome to church, I guess. We're sort of glad you're here and kind of really weary of you right now. But the idea, though, that you wouldn't come to church to find hope is crazy. I mean, yeah, we want to come to find something to help us in the day in which we live. We live in kind of a crazy world. I don't know if you've been watching, but we live in kind of a crazy world. And for a Christian, there's a lot of things that in this world will strip our hope away. A lot. Even, and we'll talk about this a little bit, even sadly and maybe mostly sometimes, other Christians. Their behaviors, their activity, what they say really discourages us. Because that doesn't sound a whole lot like what Jesus would say. Jesus were here like what he said on earth. And so I hope nobody came here today hoping to be discouraged. If that's the case, again, we're glad you're here. But nobody comes to church saying, please hurt me. You know, please hurt me. Please wound my spirit. Please let me leave here today discouraged and depressed and defeat me in my Christian life. We came here today looking for just the opposite. Please encourage me. Please infuse my heart with courage so that I might go out and live for God this week and so that I might make a difference for Jesus Christ and help me. Because, yeah, I'm struggling in this area and I'm struggling in that area and work's not going so great right now and I'm having difficulties with these people and I need some help. I hope to be able to give you some things today from the Word of God that would be able to help us. Because our world is filled with hopelessness, discouragement, and defeat. So if I told you this morning, I know a way from the Word of God, actually from the passage of Scripture that we just read, whereby you can find hope. And you can live this life this week and for the rest of your weeks without losing hope. Would you like to hear that message? Well, unless you leave, you're going to hear it. I want to take some time in these verses this morning that would help us to not lose heart. Paul the Apostle tells us there's a secret here that would help us to stay encouraged in the Lord. And so he says, for which cause we faint not. There's a cause that he's talking about that keeps us from fainting. We would say that he would not lose heart. He wouldn't lose hope. He's not going to faint in what he is doing. And we don't want to lose heart. And so I want to preach on that thought of not fainting today. I hope these truths will help you as we faint not, even when life is the most discouraging. But I want to look, first of all, at an incredible statement. In verse 16, Paul the Apostle Paul says, again, for which cause we faint not. This is an amazing statement. The word faint refers to a failing of your heart. It's kind of when you lose hope. You just don't feel like going on. We I'm over it already. And Paul tells us that regardless of what comes his way, he does not give up. He doesn't give in because of something in these verses. You know, the truth is, this morning, it's really easy to lose heart. As I said, it's become easy to come to a place where you're ready to throw in the towel. I want to give up. I want to give in. I just want to quit. Everything in life is telling us that. Stop already. What's the struggle for? And we talked about it in our growth group this morning, how there's pride, which is us relying on us, and then there's humility, which is us relying on God. And the process between those two is a battle that we go through every single day. And that battle can become difficult. But we want to be used by God, and we want to let Christ be seen in us. And so we do desire to be humble. But in that struggle, there, you can come to a place where you say, you know what? I'm overwhelmed. I don't want to keep going. So Paul is saying here, I'm not going to faint. We don't faint. I don't lose heart. Now, he's not bragging here. He's discovered a spiritual truth that enabled him to be encouraged even in the midst of circumstances that would have discouraged anybody else. Now, Paul's life was anything but easy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Think about that. Their troubles were so great that the Apostle Paul says, "I despaired even of life." So we think. So if we start to say, well, the Apostle Paul might have had it easy. If you know anything about Apostle Paul, you know how crazy that statement is. I mean, he was stoned with stones, left for dead. I've never had that happen to me. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was shipwrecked. He was floating in the sea. Crazy stuff. All for Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29, the Bible says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, whippings, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." So 39 times he was whipped. 5 times, you can do the math. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice was I shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep." That's, he's floating in the ocean. Crazy. "In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not." Yet in spite of all of those trials and tribulations and burdens, Paul's again able to say, "I faint not. I don't lose hope. I never lose heart." I want to ask you that just for a self-recollection or self-introspection this morning. Can you say that of the trials and tribulations that God has allowed to come into your life? "I don't faint. I don't know that I can. I don't know that." You look at everything that happens in life, all the evil and the bad that happens in life, and the trials and the tribulations, the struggles, and we can say, "Hey, I don't faint." We do. So whatever is helping him, we need to learn. We need to apply it to our life. And so we want to be encouraged. Most of us are like David in Psalm 55. In verse 6, he says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." He's like, basically, "I want to get out of here." There's that commercial, right? I think it's Southwest, "Time to Get Away," right? And that's what we want. Whenever there's struggles and trials, we want to get away. We wish we could. But we can't. If we're honest, we'd have to admit that we all at times struggle. But again, I'm far more interested in understanding this morning and reaching that place where I can say, I faint not. So let's look secondly at a familiar struggle. As we already said, it's really easy to lose heart. And the reason why it's so easy to lose heart is found in verse 16. And Paul identifies a common struggle that we all face. He says, though our outward man perish. The reason that it's so easy for us to lose heart, for us to faint, is because the outward man is perishing. And the outward man refers to that fleshly part of all of us. It encompasses both body and the mind. It's the result of aging in the body and the sin in the mind that really work together to strip us of all joy and hope and peace in our life. The word perish means to ruin, to rot, to corrupt, to be destroyed. So it says the Lord outward man is being ruined, rotting, corrupting, and being destroyed. And he faints not. But the reason why we faint is because of this body. There's two reasons or two sources that destroy our old outer man. The first is the fallen nature. The whole world is under the curse of sin because of sin. And because of that, we have pain, we have suffering, we have corruption, and we have death. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a few verses earlier in verse number 7, reminds us that we have this treasure, which is Jesus, in earthen vessels, right? So Jesus is the treasure that we have in earthen vessels, our bodies. That is, we will live out our days in these fragile jars of clay. And one day, that vessel will crack. It will break. It'll fade away. And that's life. I talked to our growth group this morning, and it is a little bit depressing because we're dying. Every single one of us is dying. We're getting closer to death. You know, last week was Father's Day, and if you're here for Father's Day, you're 1 week closer today. Isn't that exciting? But that's these earthen vessels, and that's the problem, and that's why we faint, that's why we struggle, is because we live in these earthen vessels, and there's problems that come to us from these earthen vessels. There's pain. There's all kinds of things that come. Discouragement and depression and all these different things that come because of these broken bodies. And that's part of why we faint. Yes, though our outward man perish, because of our fallen nature, it also struggles because of other fallen men. Another element that causes in this world that causes us to lose heart is other people. If your fallen nature doesn't get you, say, I'm doing good dealing with my flesh. I'm doing good overcoming the battles that my flesh puts in front of me. Other people will get you. They're everywhere. Literally. And they have problems. People will let us down. People will hurt us. People will not only hurt us, they'll fail the Lord. Really. People will hurt us physically, they'll hurt us verbally, they'll hurt us emotionally, they'll hurt us spiritually, and that will cause us to lose heart. It causes us to become disillusioned with this whole thing. Because something that we once thought was good, Christian, we realize, what are they doing? What are they saying? What? Can't do that. Can't say that. And we get disillusioned with the whole thing. And that produces, a lot of times, at least for me, a cynic. I don't trust anybody, right? Looking at everybody going, well, you're messed up. You know, we got to work at that. And that causes us to lose heart, to faint in what we're doing. We're going strong. We're doing well. We're serving God. And then somebody trips us up. because of something they said, something they said about us, maybe flippantly, maybe they weren't even thinking about it, but most of the time, they are thinking about it. And they meant to wound us. That's hard to deal with, especially if they're supposed to be a Christian. And now that we're able to interact with all types of people all over the world on social media, that issue is exponential. Because they can have something on the thing, oh yeah, follower of Jesus, and they can be on there just nailing people. You. And you look at that, what? And that causes us to faint, to be discouraged, to lose hope. Let me tell you, if we're not careful, and this is increasing in our day, if we're not careful, and this for me too, I see people saying things online, you're like, man, what are you doing? I see a clip somebody posts online of you know, whether it's a church service, a guy something says, or whatever, there's it's everywhere. And for me too, I'm like, man, I can't call myself that anymore, right? And we lose heart. For some, it stops them altogether. And we need to find out what keeps us from not fainting. For this cause, we faint not. Though our outward man perish, whether it's our fallen nature or fallen man around us, though it perishes, what is going to keep us going? That was fallen man, that was Paul's experience in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a few verses earlier, verses 8 and 10. The Bible says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. See, it's so easy to get discouraged. For me too. Again, I said, I'm preaching to myself, because we go through life and our flesh fails us and people fail us and we fail people and we get discouraged with ourselves and, man, what are we doing with all this stuff? We're trying to serve God. How can God even use me? We're asking ourselves these questions and we have this difficulty and we lose heart. But listen, this morning, you don't have to lose heart. You don't have to faint. It's not something you have to do. You don't have to be defeated. That's the exciting thing about church, and that's why I want to leave you today with some hope and some encouragement. Says, yeah, our flesh is a problem. And it's going to be a problem until the day we die. And actually, that problem is going to get worse physically for us as we age. But at least if you're Kapuna, you can park up at the church. 65 and older, though. Make sure you remember that. But that's always going to be a problem. You're going to be defeated. You're going to struggle. You're going to have issues. And you don't have to be a person who used to walk with God. You don't have to be a person who used to go to church. You don't have to be a person who used to be faithful to God. You can be those things if we can learn how not to faint when our flesh fails us, when fallen man fails us. We can reach a place where we don't lose heart. You can reach a place where you press on in spite of what presses you down. And that's huge. That's what we need. I need that. You need that. So today it's my prayer that you and I would echo the statement of the Apostle Paul, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish. And here we're going to go into the secret. And now we're going to see what is the hope that God has for us. And thirdly this morning is this wonderful secret that God gives us. Even though our outward man perishes, we don't faint. And this text helps us understand why. Paul shares with us this truth that keeps his heart true to God and on fire for God, even when life turns against him. There's three important realizations in this text that we need to have every single day. Honestly, we might even make them into a piece of art so you can hang them in your room. I believe in these things. Here it is. We are given a fresh start every day. Paul reminds us that though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. Every single day is a new opportunity to be renewed. And every single day is a fresh start. And I understand sometimes there's consequences that come with our flesh. And maybe we'll lose an opportunity to minister to somebody because of something we are or did or said. And I understand that. I understand that struggle. That weighs on me. And I understand if you have that. But the reality is that, yeah, you can start fresh the next day. You can get up the next morning and start fresh with God. Day by day. We need to have that mentality. Because if we're not careful, day after day will mount up upon us and will keep us down. We have to have this idea that we have a fresh strength for every single day. See, every day we're going to experience heartbreak. Every day we're going to experience sorrow. Every day we're going to experience pain and the effects of the curse of this world. And every day we endure problems caused by the world, lived with sin and sinners. And the things that we see, the things that we hear, the things that we experience work against us that cause us to lose heart. There are some things that are overwhelming that nobody can fix. We see those and like, man, I can't make a difference there. Maybe we can. But you don't have to lose hope. You can be renewed. The outward man grows weaker and weaker, and the inward man is renewed day by day. And the word renew means to renovate. Every day, the inward man is given new strength to face the trials of the day. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So there's enough evil, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. You have plenty to deal with today. And that's the struggle that we face. But the inward man is renewed every day. And we need to understand this is not a one-time drink, right? That guarantees strength and renewal for the rest of your life. Jesus is offering us a fountain that we can drink from every single day. We always have access to it. Drinking from that fountain, he offers the promise to the inner man to be renewed, to be renovated, to be refreshed day by day, while the outward man gets weaker, weaker, and weaker. You see, we understand this concept with our car. The life of your car was not meant to run on yesterday's gas. Well, I filled it up last month. Why is it out of gas today? Because you used it, right? We understand that concept. We refill the tank. We need to refill the tank. And really, spiritually, our spiritual metabolism cannot survive on yesterday's meals. And we understand that too. Man, why am I so hungry that I ate yesterday? Or 2 hours ago. That's the way it works for me. I just ate. Why am I still hungry? That's the way it works for my kids when it's time for them to go to bed. They just ate. They're still hungry. We understand that. Yeah, you need to eat to stay energized, to flourish, to go. Spiritually, you need to be renewed too. We need to renew. It means that you're fed the Word of God every day. We talked about this in the growth group too. It's not just reading it. It's meditating on it. It's metabolizing it. It's understanding it. It's rejoicing in it. It's praying with it. It's spending time with God. It's meeting with God. It's not just reading ritual. And we need to pray every day to spend time together. Again, not just for a list. I think lists are good references to go out to pray for people, but not just, you know, pray for them, pray for them. And it's a struggle. We work at that. We need to renew. There's a battle there. But that's what renews our inner man. You need the fellowship of believers. Believers should encourage you, should strengthen you, should help you. You should be excited to see them. That should be the case. And if that's not the case, there's maybe some things we need to work through, because believers should be great encouragement to your life. And you need that. So you need God's word. You need prayer. You need fellow believers. You need to be a part of church. But the reality is that going to church once a week or once a month does not get the job done. You need a fresh supply every single day. It's no wonder that so many times we lose heart, because we don't make the investment in renewing the inner man. every single day. We need to feed our bodies, which are perishing. We put gas in our cars, which are perishing. We go to the doctor, take medicines, and take care of our bodies, which are perishing. But we make no provision for the inner man, which needs to be renewed every single day. So that's why we lose heart. We lose heart because we focus our attention on everything but the one thing that matters most in our lives. We take no thought for the relationship with God and renewing their inner man day by day. So the first thing that you need to understand is that strength is available every single day. There is. And that you can start fresh every single day. Second thing from this verse is that nothing we face in this life will last forever. Read it in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want you to notice carefully Paul's language here when he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Trials never seem light, do they? They never feel light. They never seem like they're over in just a moment. Oh, that was just a moment. So light. No, they don't. They're real. They're heavy. And they seem like they last forever. The word affliction refers to tribulation, trouble, pressure, and the word light means easy. So here Paul says that the pressure that he's under is no big deal. It's light. Now, again, when we read 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, it didn't seem like that when he was in that moment. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we are pressed about above measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired, as we read earlier, even of life. But Paul, I thought it was light. I thought it was about for a moment. You're despairing of life. How are you despairing of life if it's light and but for a moment? The key to all of this is perspective. And when you look at it in the moment, horrifying. It's a mountain. It seems like it's going to go on forever. This will never stop. But when you're able to have the perspective of eternity, that things will not last forever, and you're able to look back on it, it is light. It is but for a moment. When you have that perspective. Now, again, not making light of anybody's affliction because it's terrible. What Paul went through was terrible. And in that moment, it's brutal. And it seems like it's overwhelming. And we want to faint every single moment. But what keeps us from not fainting is realizing that, yes, every single day we can have our strength renewed. And this is not going to last forever. It's not. We used to have a saying, and one of the things, when we were in Bible college, we thought that would last forever. You know, 20 years old, man, 4 years. Good grief. And it does. It seems like forever. And it seems like a huge burden. You know, working, and then, right now I'm like, man, if I could go back to that life, please give me that schedule. Going full-time school and working 40 hours a week seems today to be very light because there was no pressure. It was just easy. And it was so quick, so brief, looking back. But in that moment, it was pretty big. And we had a saying in college, my wife and I did, to help us when those moments became overwhelming. The saying is, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. And guess what? It did. It will. It will. This life will not last forever. And everything in this life will come to an end, including your struggle, when God is ready. And He will be. And when you stand back outside of time and eternity and you look back on your life in the light of the glory that you're in, which is Jesus, you'll say that was light and but for a moment. That's exactly what Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says. For I reckon, you're going to learn that word in growth groups this week if you're in Lihui. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. The psalmist said this way in Psalm 30 and verse 5, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. The secret to not losing heart is maintaining a proper perspective. And so ask God to help you get your eyes off what you can't see, or what you can see, and look beyond what you can't see. Because what we can see is temporal. What we can't see is eternal. So God, give me the view of eternity. Help me see this trial from your perspective. And that'll help us from losing hope. There's one third and final thing. Everything we face in life has meaning. We talked about this in our growth group. Our pride, us depending on self, and our humility, us depending on God, are the two choices, basically, that we have. But God will help us with that by humbling us. And that humbling process we call humiliation, because your pride is fighting what God is doing. And so you're angry, you're embarrassed, you're upset at God humbling you. You're fighting God like Jonah fought God when he was trying to humble him. And it's humiliating. And we see that humiliation, and sometimes we go, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Like Job wanted to have an audience with God. God, what are you doing? Tell me. What we need to understand is this fight that we're in has meaning. There's a purpose to it. And when we are humble, truly humble, Christ can be seen in us. And we can be a little Christ, a Christian, in this fallen world. And we can make a difference, but not when we're proud. No matter how religious you are, no matter what you say, if there's pride, you will not make a difference. You'll always make problems. That's the problem with the flesh. Doesn't matter what scriptures you read. Doesn't matter if it's arrogant. If it's proud, it's going to cause problems. You have to be humble. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. You can't depend on you. You have to depend on God. It's important. And that, when we depend on God, He's going to be seen in us, and we can make a difference. And that's the purpose for it. And these trials have that same purpose. Everything has meaning. Your life is not meaningless. Just a reminder, though, when we look at this, God didn't save you to make you happy. I know. That's not the way it works. And God didn't save you just to bless you. Because I think a lot of times in the Christian life, we think, I'm supposed to be happy and blessed all the time. Not always. Not mostly, even. Now, we have find joy, and there's joy in all that we do. In fact, I'm finding more and more joy in serving Jesus. And I love serving Jesus for the joy it brings. Because there is joy there. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we have that. We need that. And there's great joy. And I really enjoy the joy. I live for the joy. But the reality is there are not always times when we're happy and not always times when we feel blessed. And there are struggles. There are trials. You think, I just imagine the Apostle Paul bobbing up and down in the deep. You know, if we can use our modern vernacular, go to Bible college, they said. You know, serve Jesus, they said. You know, give your life for missions, they said. He's out there in the dark, thinking about sharks that are out there. That's the way my mind works. That's the way I would be. Yeah, what a blessed life. You know, not always. But there is a purpose to it. There's a purpose to this life. There's a purpose to the trial. There's a purpose to the difficulty. There's a purpose to what we go through. And Romans 8:28 tells us a little bit about that purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, him he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So all these trials are working together for good if we love God, for the purpose of conforming us to the image of his Son, to be like Jesus. That's the humility process. That's humbling us. And that's good. And I mentioned this to our growth group. There's been some things in my life that have recently humbled me and exposed my pride. And in the moment, you're like, man, I hate that. And again, that humiliation fights it, and the pride is trying to claw its way back to the top. But when God finishes his work, you'll be humble. And you'll look back on the process by which he exposed your pride, and you'll be grateful for it. And you'll say, God, thank you for exposing my pride. Because I'm closer to you, I'm a better servant of yours, and I have joy. Thank you. Because the proud, they don't have joy. And all of this works together for good. You see, the things that come into our life, the cancer that drains away your life, is not meaningless. When your heart breaks and your dreams shatter, it's not meaningless. When parents struggle with their children and the decisions that their children make, it's not meaningless. When something is taken from you, even a loved one, it's not meaningless. When tragedies of this life pile on one after another, you're broken, you're weary, you're battered, but it's not meaningless. No, these things are working together for good. They're for your benefit. And one day when this life is over, when you can step back out of time and into eternity, you'll find yourself relieved from the light afflictions that were but for a moment. And they're swallowed up in a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Again, Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in others. So how do we not lose heart? We do it by seeing that the inward man is renewed day by day. We remind ourselves of the truth found in this passage that we are given a fresh start to be renewed every single day. And nothing that we face in this life will last forever. No matter what's plaguing your heart this morning, it will not last forever. This too shall pass. And everything that you are facing has meaning, has a purpose. And when you understand those things, when you go through life, you don't faint, no matter what you face. When you look at the Apostle Paul's life, it was brutal. Can you imagine that poster? You know, come serve Jesus. Be like the Apostle Paul. He was stoned. He was beaten 3 times. Shipwrecked. Beaten again. You know, it's just like his life is a mess. He didn't mention he got bit by a snake, you know, poisonous one. Should have killed him. But it all had a purpose. It all had meaning, and does your life. So don't faint. Don't be weary. Don't lose hope. Be renewed in your spirit. Read your word. Get around God's people. Pray. Realize it's not going to last forever. Have the eternal's perspective. The things that we see in our temporal. That always amazes me. Everything that you can see with your eyes will not last. Including the people that you're looking at right now. Now, their soul will, but their body that you're looking at, gone. The chair's gone. The floor gone. Hopefully for us sooner rather than later. But the tree's gone, the island gone, the ocean gone. The stars melt. Gone. That's temporal. But that which is not seen, us, our soul, our true us, is eternal. God's word
God himself. It's eternal. Don't look on the temporal. It's discouraging. Look on the eternal and gain some perspective. And then realize that everything that we face has a meaning, that God is doing a work in us to make us more like his son. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for this time. Thank you for this service. God, my prayer is if there's somebody here today that does not know you as their Savior, that they would be saved today. They would not leave here without knowing for sure that Jesus is their Savior. And I want to ask you that question this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and didn't talk much about salvation, but the reality is if you don't know Jesus Christ, there is really no hope. He is the hope. And if you don't have him, then you're hopeless, without hope. And you say, Pastor, if I was to die today, I don't know for sure that Jesus is my Savior. I don't know for sure that my sins are forgiven. That's the question. Are your sins forgiven? Is Jesus your Savior? It's not based on whether or not you're in church this morning or that you go to church. It's not based on whether you give to the church. It's not whether or not you're a member of the church. Anything to do with church or anything to do with works, for that matter. Nothing you can do can get you to heaven in the sense of works. So if you say, I am confused about that, I don't know for sure, I have some doubt about that, I'd like to know more, if you would raise your hand, I'll pray for you. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. And if you're in the overflow, you can raise your hand as well. I'll see you out there. Raise your hand. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'll see it. Just go ahead and raise it up, and I'll pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'll pray for you. Anybody like that here today? Say, Pastor, would you raise your hand? In the overflow, anybody out there? Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? You can slip your hand up. I'll see it. You can put it right back down. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Help us to live with hope. Help us not to faint. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, we're going to take our hymn book, and we're going to go to hymn number 118, a good reminder that there's never an hour in which we can rely on ourselves. We need him every hour. Hymn 118.